So today we're going to have some fun. It's an experiment in time. It's a real-time experiment, however you want to describe it. And it's on miracles. And it kind of is a spinoff. Saturday, I did, I do these Success Saturdays, I'm calling it. And it was a spinoff of the butterfly experiment, since we all kind of were in a cocoon. That started the butterfly experiment, led into, you know, doing stuff, success. And on Saturdays, which turns out to be, I don't know why I didn't do it before, to be honest with you, it's a great day to do these kind of things, because even people with outside jobs or full-time practices can't drop out at noon necessarily on a weekday, but they can jump in on Saturday. So anyway, last Saturday talked about changing your mindset about success. Success track, you know, how to reframe your mind, because successful people think differently about success and things like that than non-successful people. So, you know, that's on YouTube. I post it on Facebook. I'll post it again if people want to see it. And it kind of led into what we'll talk about today, which is miracles. But first, always have to give my contact info, Marketing 101, how to get in touch with me. You always do that twice during a webinar, and I got to keep reminding myself. You do it at the beginning, you do it at the end. Main websites, nfnlp.com. That's the main training site. I'm on Twitter at Dr. Will at Real NLP. I'm on Instagram as Dr. Will Horton. I have a couple other websites, Dr. Will Horton, which is being revamped and should be launched this week. Just something to think about if you want to keep in touch with me. And one of my new favorite sayings, it comes from a different world that one person on the call is very familiar with. The only easy day was yesterday. So let's get to work and have some fun. So let's think about, what can I learn new today? A lot of this will be depending on your training, background, experience. We'll have different, it will be sort of a review. But if it's a review, what can you learn new? Those of us sit through classes over and over, I'm constantly listening to audible books, especially like Neville Goddard and Max Freedom Long and some of that. I can listen to it over and over, and I'll hear something slightly different each time. So what can I learn new today? How can I grow today? And an important one for us to, in this time with the lockdown and everything going on, what can I do different today, even with the current situation? And what is a goal I'm working on that needs a miracle? Since we're going to talk about miracles, what's something in my life I would like to have a miracle, right? So today, let's start with your desires. What do you want, you know? And what's a real goal you'd like to work on? And I always stress when I think about this that your desires, your goals, whatever it is that you want, is one way that God or the universe or the whatever it is out there is speaking to you, you know? Because if the universe lives through you, right, it experiences is the universe through you. So we could, you know, we got 15, 16 people on the call. If we all wanted a gourmet meal, we have the exact same gourmet meal, we would experience it 15 different ways. You know, some would like this, some would like that, same with like a sports car, things like that. So the universe, the collective consciousness, if you will, would have 15, 16 different experiences, right? And so, you know, we begin to think about these kind of things, what our true desires are, and, you know, they're neither good nor bad, but thinking makes them so, as Shakespeare said, and I forget which play it's from, but it's also in a lot of the religious texts. You know, what you think of it places the beliefs about it and everything else. You know, desires in and of themselves, they're like beliefs. They're pretty much, they're yours, right? But we're going to be talking about don't add or subtract from your desires if you want a miracle. But you have to realize that you're still worthy, right? You know, if you took a crisp $100 bill, people would want it. But if it's been crumpled, you'd still want it. You know, even if it was soiled, because you could always wash it, you know, wipe it off, and it's still worthy. It's still worth $100. So that's one of the core things when you start thinking about this. Do you feel worthy of whatever that desire, that goal, that dream that you're going toward, right? So we've been working on that on the Success Saturdays. But jumping into today's topic, have you ever had a miracle type experience, right? Whatever you would describe it. I use my version. I say there's two types, right? There's the one type of miracle where you're working on a project or you're going toward a goal and it just seems like a dead end. Nothing's working. Nothing's falling into place or whatever. And then like suddenly like boom, there'll be a coincidence or something random seems to happen that when you look back on it, you go, I don't know how that happened, but it did, which takes your dream to a different level or your goal or your desire, right? So that's one type. And that's the type most of us work on in our field or if we're working with clients, they come in, they're working on something and they're stuck. That's what hypnosis does is remove some of the blocks at the physical level. But what about the next level up, right? So that's the first type is the miracle is you're working on something and you just get stuck. It's a dead end. Nothing seems to be working. And then whether you want to call it a coincidence or a random event or something happens and bam, everything falls into place. Most of us have had these experiences, maybe many, many experiences, right? The second is kind of out of nowhere. You know, it's just like, boom, something puts in your life. And it's like, that's the kind of miracle that can take your life in a totally different direction, right? But did you ever say, I don't know how this happened, whether it's the first type or the second type, like you're working on a goal and it's stuck. And then you run into somebody who knows somebody and then you get a phone call that, boom, puts your project back online, right? Or you're just kind of trucking along and then suddenly you meet somebody or you get exposed to something and it changes your life. If nothing else, a lot of us in our field here of hypnosis and NLP probably could relate to that because, you know, other than Dan Kandel and a couple other people, I've never met somebody that wanted to be a hypnotist it wasn't their goal growing up. It's like something happened out of nowhere. You went to a hypnotist, you stopped smoking. You went to a seminar, you got that. You went to see a stage show and went, this is so cool. Whatever it was, you read a book, boom, changed your life, took you in a different direction, right? So whether you're working on type one or type two, once it happens, usually what happens, again, you get to that, I don't know how that happened, but something happened, right? But can you keep the results or do you sabotage it, right? And so what we want to work on is the structure and the how. What's the structure of it if you're going to have a miracle? And this is the hard part, but in NLP, one of our presuppositions is, you know, we can replicate things if we can break it down into small enough chunks. So what's the structure of it? Especially something where when you look back, you go, I don't know how that happened. You know, that day I happened to be stopping to have coffee. And I ran into somebody I haven't seen in 5 years and we started talking. Next thing you know, I got a phone number, right? So that part, there may be no real structure. You can't plan. I'm going to run into Joe who I haven't thought of in 5 years, who will introduce me to this, who will do that, right? No. So that part, there's a gap, right? So the thing we have to think about is what happened right before that miracle, that magic, or that coincidence started to fall into place. What was right before it? And then it took off, right? Because if it's truly a miracle or magic or even a coincidence, it can't be planned. You know, that's like the people that I'm gonna have some spontaneous fun. So I'm going to open up my schedule with tomorrow afternoon between 3 and 4:15 for spontaneous fun. Certain things just don't seem to work that way, right? And that's the catch 22 that we fall in when you start studying this kind of stuff, you know? How do you plan for the unplanned? How do you structure it? Is there something going on? And part of it, I would say, as a lot of motivational speakers and things that have said through the years, you have to let go of the how. You know, how is this thing going to work? How is this that you plan it? But it, you know, if you hang on to the how too much, you know, as our dear friend Tony Robbins calls it, the tyranny of how. I like the way he says it. You know, it has to work exactly this way, right? So if you want to be a millionaire, that means you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you save all your money, and you get to be a millionaire at 64, and then you have a heart attack and die at 65. You know, or you end up stroking out and the nursing home takes every damn dime you have. Excuse me, I'm cynical. Whatever it is. So if you structure it too much, can you let go of the how? And I use a quote from the from the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Not that I know it, I just like the quote. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it. And I think that's a psychological roadmap, right? Because adding to what you want is saying how it will happen. I want to do this. So that means this has to happen, this has to happen. So you're basically ordering the universe for it to only happen this way. So if you want a new car, there's, God knows, a lot of ways to buy a new car, right? But if you say, well, first I got to get a different job, get more money, save up this, and then you just telescope down, if you will, for the way it to happen, right? So adding, you shall not add, means it can only happen this way. But there's many ways it can happen, right? Subtracting is accepting less, right? So I want a new car. I want a new Corvette, right? Well, actually, I've switched my mind. It's a Porsche, right? But you say, you know, a Mazda Miata is a really nice car. And it is. It's a great car. I drove them. They're fun little cars. So if you're accepting less, that's taking away from what you say you want. And I would say all of us hypnotists and LPers and metaphysical types know, you just told your subconscious mind, don't believe what I say, that I want this because I'll settle for that, right? You know, it's like lowering your standards. You just can't, you know, if you want this, this is what you want, right? And again, somehow thinking if I accept less, it's pleasing to the universe, right? But I think what we'll be working on is a concept I got from the recovery community from substance abuse. Almost everybody I've ever talked to that recovered from a substance abuse issue, almost any addiction, hits the part where they have to let go of trying to make it happen. You know, whether it's drinking, I'm just not going to drink. They have to just surrender, you know. In the recovery world, it's called surrender to win. Right? You just give up. I can't do this by myself. I just can't. I've tried this. I've tried that. You have to let go. And that's mainly going back to the how. And again, I'll just relate it to substance abuse. There's a really cool book, a chapter in one of the books, and it's talking about all the things we try to do to control our drinking. You know, my addiction, you know, which was drinking, you know, only drinking natural wines, only drinking on the weekend, only drinking after five, never doing this, only drink, blah, 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 right? It doesn't work. That's trying to plan it. That's adding to how this can happen, right? And once all of that's broken away, you know, then you surrender into the process, and then sometimes miracles happen, right? You end up at a 12-step meeting. You end up in a treatment center. You end up talking to somebody who gives you a different viewpoint. And you know, I've known people that recover without treatment and or the 12-step. So can you do it, right? So do it, but have you ever pushed away a success because you demanded it happen another way, right? And the example I use for this is not recovery, so isn't that a shock? It's the business world, and it's Apple computers. You know, for how many years, you know, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates were, you know, friendly competitors. I don't know, maybe they weren't friendly competitors, you know, but Gates was dominant. And, you know, Apple kept building great computers. In fact, some people say better computers. They couldn't win, right? You know, Microsoft was just basically kicking their ass every day, right? And then suddenly they came out with the iPod. It had nothing to really do with a computer. It was a different way to listen to music. iPod led to, again, it was one of those, he had a goal to be a dominant world corporation, if you will. I forget what, I know he laid it out, but it was like, you know, and he thought he would get, at first it was to build a better computer, you know, and build a better this, this, and this, right? And then he did the iPod, and then he came out with the iPhone, right? And now I think Apple's still one of the top five corporations in the world for net, what it's worth, you know? I think it's one of the biggest that actually makes something. I know Amazon's bigger, but they don't actually make anything. So, but you have, it was like, it opened up a different branch and took it this way. Still makes computers, but he quit going head to head that way, saying it has to happen this way. And once he, and I remember him talking about, he just know, he knew he had to do something different. And suddenly, you know, this happened, that happened. And the rest is history. Yeah. So can you do this? Right? Can you do this? Can you think about in your life a miracle type event? And when you look back on it, you go, I don't know how that happened. It's just, I met the right person at the right moment in time that said this and then that, right? I've got many I could share. We all have many. But one is how I ended up doing what I'm doing, you know? I took an NLP training, and I actually took it for sales, to be honest with you. And I found it fascinating, right? I thought it was really cool. And then I wanted to do a firewalk, right? And I just missed, Tony Robbins was doing a firewalk in Chicago, right? And I just missed it. And I'm like, damn, right? But I knew I wanted to do a firewalk. That was my goal. That was the thing I wanted to do. Couldn't tell you why. Part of it because some of the NLP people were making fun of it. And I thought, this just sounds interesting to me. You know, this, what Tony Robbins was doing. This is back in the early 80s, right? And I'm like, damn. So I was looking, and this is before the websites. I had to call up and, what's it, Robbins Research International, find out when the next firewalk was. I think there was one down in Texas. And yeah, back then he was doing like one a month somewhere. So I'm trying to plan it. And I went to one of the NLP things we were doing, and somebody had a flyer about a conference in Nashua, New Hampshire. And it was for the National Guild of Hypnotists. It was the first year they were in Nashua, New Hampshire. And I'm like, oh, this sounds interesting. This lady, it was a lady. She's like, this looks interesting. Maybe I'll go. I'm looking at it. It's reasonably priced. And then I saw, you know, in the back that they were doing a half day or something like that, an evening of a firewalk experience. And it was like $79. This was whatever it was, 80, whatever it was. And it was led by George Bien, who was one of the top trainers for the National Guild back then. And I'm like looking at that and I'm like, damn, because Tony Robbins' firewalk was like $2,000 back then, right? He didn't have a lot of competition. So, and his career was starting to arc up. So I'm like, $79 on a Thursday night. And then if I stay for another couple hundred, I can do the conference. And then I looked at what the conference was offering. I said, this sounds kind of interesting. I'd never heard of the National Guild, right? And so I go there and the rest is history. I end up, I do the firewalk. I started talking to people. I ask, how does this thing work? I did my homework. I didn't just stay in my room. I'm like, I'm networking with people, you know, George Bien, Steve Lavelle, for us old timers that no one else knows these names anymore. But anyway, I'm like, whoa. And I had so much fun the next year. From then on, I started teaching and took my, and I never started to do this, right? In fact, I thought if I was going to become a trainer or do any of that, it would be in that old traditional NLP world, which a lot of people were doing, right? And I ended up going to this hypnosis world. And when I started doing it, there was nobody doing NLP in the hypnosis world, right? There were the two camps. Anyway, I look back, it's like, how did that happen? How did I happen to get, and it wasn't my flyer, it was a lady had the flyer, right? And I'm like, whoa, this is so cool, right? In fact, part of the flyer was they were having a class like in June right before that, so I went to their class in Chicago on becoming a certified hypnotist, and then, you know, then took off. But how could I do that? So if I step into the moment just before, right? So if I'm thinking about like, how did all this started to happen? You know, and I can, and we'll do this exercise. I had to close my eyes and step into it. And I realized, you know, I'm like, you know, if I'm supposed to go to this conference, not conference, if I'm going to do a firewalk, something will happen. And I was trying to figure out how, you know, how to arrange it to go to either Dallas or, I think he was doing Dallas and Fort Lauderdale. And so I'm thinking about that. And then, you know, and I remember going, well, something will happen. I wasn't going to force it, you know, I just knew it would happen, right? And then it did, you know, and as some of the religious texts said, the way we know not of, it's not spelled right. This is the way we know, I left out no, not of. You don't know how it's going to work. So if I step into the moment just before, and then I step into the moment like I want to do this, I don't know how it's going to happen. I just know I want to do this. And then I step into, you know, I'm doing a fire walk in Nashua, New Hampshire, and I can look back and go, wow, how did all those things fall into play, right? And then if you do that, that begins to set your mind that maybe it's that letting go. Maybe it's letting go of how. Maybe it's opening up to the universe. Maybe it's spreading your energy up. So what we're going to do, I want everyone to do this. Let me open this because I'm going to record this in a different spot also on my, for me. Cool. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about three examples of miracle moments or coincidences, whatever you want to call it. What's a miracle moment in your life, right? And as much as you can, think about the work you did before, especially let's work at like something you were working toward and then it you accomplished it. But when you look back, it's like certain things had to happen that you really couldn't plan, right? I want you to think of three examples of that, right? And then we're going to go back, we're going to re-experience them, and we'll make them big, bright, and colorful. And then we're going to look at your timeline with those, and you'll probably see many more little miracle experiences, coincidences, random events that maybe weren't random, right? And then we're going to see these things, and we're going to take these with the goal you're working on to reform it into a miracle mindset. This is the experiment, and we're going to do it in real time. Is it going to work? I don't know, right? So the first thing, think about a goal you really want to accomplish, whatever it happens to be, right? And now I want you to just put that aside because you've been working on it, whatever it is, right? Now, much like, you know, Steve Jobs with just somehow coming up with the idea for the iPod, which led to the iPhone, which led to, you know, them becoming the most valuable corporation on the face of the earth. It can be slightly different than you expect, but you have your goal, you have your desire, you have your dream. Great. Now think about three examples of miracle moments that you can think of. And just think about as much as you can about it. Maybe give it a title, you know, whatever it happens to be, right? And then we're going to think about before, and then we're going to do this little exercise. So let's do this. Let me start my recording. So make sure you're comfortable. If you can't listen to this, you know, if anyone on this is driving or anything, I turned off I can't see everybody right now. But if you're driving or anything, don't listen to it now. You can replay this later. Great. So sit back, relax. And take a deep breath. And now this one, we don't want to go into deep trance because we want our conscious mind to kind of track it. And we want to be in that droopy, drowsy, kind of dreamy state that we get into where we're not quite awake and we're not quite asleep. You know, you're in that creative state where you're like right before you drift off asleep at night, first thing in the morning. Or I like to think about when you space out during the day. You know, you might be working on a computer, you might be watching TV, and someone says, hey, what are you doing? And you honestly don't know, because you honestly don't know. But you're conscious, you were there, something was going on. So if I just count from 1 to 3, and you kind of imagine your body relaxing just enough for you to experience that. Good. And with each number I count, I also want you to think of one of the miracle experiences in your life. It could have been anything. It could be something in work. It could be something in your relationship life. It could be financial. It could be anything. So one, as you relax, just think about the very first miracle experience that you had that you're thinking of. And as you do that, I want you to think about all the work you did to get that you were working toward this miracle, right? You were planning it, or you wanted to do something, and you maybe hit that roadblock. At two, you think of another one, or maybe the same kind of thing happened. I'm working on this thing, and it doesn't seem to be working. It's like every door is closed, and then something magical is going to happen, but you don't know it at the time. At two, it's for you to do it for yourself. And three, as you relax to that perfect place, I want you to think about the third miracle experience. Great. And now as you're relaxing, your conscious mind can be there just as a informed observer, if you wish. And I want you to go back and re-experience the time just before that first miracle thing. Think about the things you were doing. Maybe you were planning, maybe you were making phone calls, maybe you were working at it. And then whatever happened that you finally surrendered into the experience. That's right. And then if you drift out of that experience, if you see it, hear it, feel it, smell it, taste it, touch it, if you drift out of that experience and then jump forward till after you accomplish this miracle, after it happened in your life and you had the goal or was doing it and all of that, you look back and realize you had to open yourself up to things that you know not of. You had to release the tyranny of how and open yourself up for the magic of the universe. And as you're doing that, I'd like you to look back and see that you there that just hit that moment before it happened. And maybe there's a cord of light or an energy or an aura that connects with your higher self, your guardian angel, your spirit. And maybe for the first time, that deep spirit within you, the kingdom of heaven within you, connected with the kingdom of heaven without you, the one outside of you, where magic can happen. And it was totally aligned. So it drew in the miracles and the magic and the coincidence and the random events that made those experiences fall in line. Great. And now drift back to the second miracle type experience you had. And again, see what you see, hear what you hear, feel what you feel, think what you think. And maybe there's that same moment type experience right before it began to happen. Maybe you gave up. Maybe you asked for help. Maybe you said, God help me, universe help me. Maybe you just said, I can't do this by myself. And then maybe that spirit within connected with the spirit without, and you drew in everything that you need. And now you leap out into the future to when you experienced the miracle, you had the goal, you were doing it, and you look back and go, certain things had to happen, you can't explain. The things you know not of, and that's okay. And lastly, now think of the third experience. Drift back and step into that third miracle type experience. And again, now you can find that spirit within, that moment that is so important, when whatever it was that opened you up to receiving it from the universe, knowing it didn't have to happen that way. It didn't have to happen this other way. It didn't have to do this, this, and this. It could happen in ways that'll surprise and delight you. And now as you drift up and go into the experience and you look back and yes, that's your evidence. And as you drift up now, you can look back on your life and maybe you begin to understand that saying, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can go to this goal that you're working on into the future, like you've already accomplished it, whether it's in your relationship, in your physical body, in your financial, in your business, you're doing it. You've accomplished the goal. And then you can look back on today, sitting there, taking this little seminar, going, I don't know how it happened after that seminar is over, but this happened, that happened, this happened, this happened. And then that, bam, you have it. And you begin to know that you can begin to develop a switch, if you will. A switch, if you will. Mm-hmm. That you can turn on the miracle mindset. That you can turn on that. And tag into that. Because it's what you need. It's what you want. It's what you desire. It's what you need, it's what you want, it's what you desire. And you can think about, really think about, that this desire, this goal, this dream that you're going toward is fine. Maybe the universe wants to experience this through you. whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, whatever it is, the universe needs you to do it. That's right. And you just need to connect inside and outside to allow it to happen. Good. And maybe what you do is quit looking at the problem and start looking at the solution. That's what they mean by step into the experience and look back on today. That's right. And as you do, you feel better and better, better than before. That's right. Good. And now putting all of this in the back of your mind, give yourself the permission to accept these things. To accept these things, to realize that you're worthy because you're the only person that can do what you were put here to do. You have your own special talents, abilities, and skills. Only you can do that. You will affect the universe as only you can. So maybe the universe wants to do this through you, and you have to allow it. And so as you accept that now, you feel better than before. Good. And now I'm going to count from 1 to 5 and bring you back. But you come back feeling better than before. Good. Good. 1, coming on up, letting all of this go into the back of your mind. 2, drifting to the surface. 3, wide awake, clear-headed and refreshed. 4, opening your eyes. And 5, open your eyes, come on back. All right. Cool. All right. So as you're coming back, my closing metaphor is, you know, I kind of said it this morning. I was talking about it with this Daniel in the lion's den, right? In the metaphor or the parable, whatever you want to call it, in Daniel in the lion's den, he was thrown into the lion's den to test his faith, from what I understand. Trust me, I'm not a Bible scholar. I just know some of the stories in it, right? And to test his faith. And so rather than stare at the lions, which were about to kill him, he turned his back on the lions and looked toward the light, you know, whatever the Savior is. And the way I understand this, the parable then would be, whatever those lions are, that's your fear, you know, the blocks in our lives toward the goal that you're trying to accomplish. If you can turn your back on it and focus on your salvation, realizing that, you know, it's if you're hungry, your salvation is food. If you're broke, your salvation is money. If you're sick, it's health, right? And that has to kind of be generated from the inside. And so when he turned away from the lions and started looking at that, they went to sleep, supposedly, in the story. And that's kind of, you know, when we look at these problems in our lives, we make them bigger, as we all know, you know. And so that's my closing metaphor. So I'm going to stop the recording right now. So next week, I'm not sure what the forum will be about, but we'll talk about something else next week. I'm trying to get somebody on to talk about some more therapeutic applications of different things. Maybe bring somebody on that's a specialist in a certain type of thing. So if you're not on my mailing list, make sure you are. It'll be in the next e-zine. So that's next.